On the bottom of page 3 in your service folder are the verses on which today's Christmas message is based. I invite you to join with me in reading those two verses. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Fellow Christmas worshipers, Maurice Wright was a farmer. And one day he was over at his neighbor's and noticed a large painting and bought it for $4. He took the painting home and, being a farmer, he hung it in his barn. After a long time of collecting dust and not a few spider webs stuck to its frame, his tax accountant noticed it, and just out of curiosity, he snapped a picture of it and sent it to an assessor. It turned out that the painting was an original from a famous 19th century artist. And subsequently, Maurice sold it for $90,000. Imagine finding something so valuable in a barn. And so it was that while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, in a barn. Something so valuable in a barn in Bethlehem. I could imagine that Mary coddled and cuddled that little baby just like any mother does, holding him tight, giving him the warmth and the security that a mother gives a newborn. Couldn't you even imagine her kind of unwrapping those swaddling clothes and, like a lot of mothers, counting all the toes and the little fingers? I just marveling at the miracle of birth, of human birth. But there was more. There was more than this tiny, wonderful miracle of a baby boy. John wrote, "The Word became flesh." And in order to understand that, we need to go back a few verses to the beginning of that first chapter where he wrote, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Word was God, that Word that became flesh. This is more than just a wonderful baby with perfect fingers and toes and everything else wonderfully put just where they need to be. Ponder this thought. Just as Mary pondered the thought that God blessed her with the gift of a remarkable and awesome baby, a baby who is God. And that's why this birth was looked forward to from the time of the Garden of Eden. And that birth is one that we still celebrate 2,000 years later, because he was more than just a wonderful tiny baby. He is God. But something didn't seem to add up. When you view the Christmas scene from the Gospels, God, the Holy Second Person of the Trinity, as John said, through whom all things were made, the eternal God, when he came, there was no room for him. The clothes were just strips of cloth, which is common mother and guardian father were able to provide. When he came, there was only a cold feeding trough, manger, for him to be laid in. This is the one who laid the foundations of the world. This is the one who brought all things into being. And this is what we see when we see the manger scene. This is the one, the Messiah, of whom ancient prophets spoke. This is Christ the Lord, whose birth announcement was heralded by the heavenly angels. This is the newborn Savior whom shepherds came to adore. And this is the eternal King that wise men traveled from afar to come and worship. And as Christians for centuries have been confessing, he is God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven and was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and became fully human. He is true God. He is true man in one unique person. He came to display his glory. His closest friend on earth and fellow and disciple of his wrote, "We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father." But Jesus, that only begotten Son of God, an eternal second person of the Trinity, didn't come to show off his great glory before the world. He didn't come to impress us with his omniscience. He didn't come to scare us with his omnipotence. How did John put it? He came from the Father, full of grace and truth. That's the amazing truth of the Christmas account. That's why we gather to worship. That's why we sing our songs of praise even after so many years of this event taking place. Jesus came full of grace to lavish on us God's very special love. And as we read before, from the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing of after another. God's grace comes to us in such abundant measure that even if we seek to count our blessings, we couldn't even begin to look and think of them all. Think of the blessings that you have. Think of the blessings for your life that you have right now. Think of the comfort of your home, the warmth, day and winter like this. Think of the conveniences that you have that people of the past would only have dreamed of. We got a Christmas letter from a dear friend of ours, a member of a congregation I served back in Indiana, and she was talking about the blessings, and she says, "I give thanks for indoor plumbing." I go, "Lois, why do you say that?" She said, "Because when I was a little girl and went to school, there was no indoor plumbing in the first school that I went to, and you know what that meant. We had to go outside." Give thanks. Give thanks for all the things that God fills our life with. Not one is missing. For in him, the Bible says, we live and move and have our being. And that means even the times when difficulties and challenges and sickness come into the course of our lives, because even through them, God has a loving and saving purpose to fulfill. But those aren't the greatest blessings, are they? The greatest blessing is that God would not let sinners perish in hell. Out of his boundless love, he planned salvation for us. And then he carried it out in the greatest detail to fulfill every one of the promises that he had made over 4,000 years of time. There was more than the perfectly formed fingers and toes of that little baby that Mary held in that barn in Bethlehem. He was more than a perfect physical being. This is one who was completely and by nature perfect. And because he was perfect, he was qualified to take all of our imperfections, all of our righteousness, unrighteousness upon himself, and give to us that righteousness that he has so that we have peace with God, so that we can stand before him. Oh, the Apostle Paul said it so well in the book of 2 Corinthians, that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. For just a moment, I'd like you to focus on that picture that's on the screens in front of the church. I always enjoyed this picture. It really came from one of the movies that was done, My Son, My Savior. And this movie, to me, capsulizes the joining, the very point of the Old Testament meeting the New. For as we read before, the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. God revealed the written law to Moses that exposed the sin of people and let them see very clearly how far they had fallen short of the glory of the perfection that God demands of sinners in order for them to live with him forever. But God didn't leave his people without hope. And through Moses, he gave a plan for them to atone for their sin. And it involved sacrifice. The sacrifice for them of animals. Thousands, millions of animals were sacrificed. The blood was poured out, particularly the blood of the lamb. But all those animals pointed ahead to the great sacrifice, like that lamb looking at the Lamb of God, looking at him and saying, here is the fulfillment. Here is the fulfillment of all of God's plan, for this one is the lamb who would end all sacrifice. This is the one whose blood would be poured out, the blood of the Lamb of God that cleanses us from all sin. And that's the valuable point of that little baby in the barn at Bethlehem. He came for you. He came for you who may be longing for love. He came for you who are stressed by all the multitude of responsibilities that you have in your life. He came to you who may be wounded by some angry act that someone has done against you. He came to you who perhaps are empty with loneliness because of the loss, the great loss that you have experienced. He came to you who may be regretting how you have wrongfully treated someone else. He came to you wondering how on earth you're going to get through the future, to the future. He came to you, even you who may be questioning the goodness of God in your life right now. He came to you who are fearful of threatening forces that you don't have any control over. He came to you who are struggling with difficulties and deficiencies. And yes, he even came to you who are self-sufficient and independent, who are successful and prosperous, who are satisfied and content. Because no matter what end of the spectrum we are on with all of those descriptions, there is one need we all have, and that's the need for Jesus. The need for Jesus to accomplish the work of our salvation. The need for Jesus to wipe away our sins. The need for Jesus to reconcile us with a holy God. The need for Jesus to take away the condemnation, give us the glorious crown of eternal life. And that, my fellow Christmas worshipers, is the reason that that valuable baby came in that barn in Bethlehem. Glory be to him. Amen.